chapter 3, text 2 to 7. I don't know which verse is written, but there's many verses here. Last one, okay. Okay, I will, I don't know, I guess I'll read the Sanskrit all the way, and then we're gonna repeat this last one. So, right, I think, it's too loud, yeah. Okay. Translation of entire thing. Translation. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahmajyoti, effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma, or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra, and one who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire, and one who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnation, Lord Shiva, if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grain should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planets should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadev. And one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Sadhya demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as Ashwini Kumaras. And a person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship the beautiful residents of the Gandharva planet. And one who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Urvashi society girl of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires domination over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. And one who desires a good marital relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. Long verse, many names. Purport. There are different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in particular subjects. The conditioned soul living within the purview of the material world cannot be an expert in every type of materially enjoyable asset, but one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshipping particular demigod, as mentioned above. Ravana was made very powerful man by worshipping Lord Shiva, and he used to offer severed heads to please Lord Shiva. Here he was severing his own heads, because he got benediction that whenever he chops the head, he will grow. So he was chopping his heads and offering Lord Shiva. He became so powerful by the grace of Lord Shiva that all the demigods were afraid of him, until he at last challenged the personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, and thus ruined himself. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material objects of enjoyment, or the gross materialistic persons, are on the whole less intelligent. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said there that those who are bereft of all good fortune, or those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of Maya, aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing the various demigods, or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. The real problem of life In the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age and disease. No one wants to change his birthright. No one wants to meet death. No one wants to be old and invalid. And no one wants diseases. But these problems are solved neither by the grace by any demigod, nor by the so-called advancement in material science. In the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, such less intelligent persons have been described as devoid of all good fortune, all good sense. Shukadeva Goswami said that out of the 8,400,000 species of living entities, the human form of life is rare and very valuable. And out of those rare human beings, those who are conscious of the material problems are rarer still. And the still more rare are persons who are conscious of the value of Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the messages of the Lord and his pure devotees. Death is inevitable for everyone, intelligent or foolish. But Parikshit Maharaj has been addressed by the Goswami as the Manishi, or the man of highly developed mind, because at the time of death, he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing his messages from the right person, Shukadeva Goswami. But aspirations for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Such aspirations are sometimes like in intoxication of the degraded human society. Intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead the permanent life of returning home back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, my dear devotees. This chapter is called Pure Devotional Service. I see how it starts. It's interesting, isn't it? This just shows that this place is kunta, full of miseries, see. Because you feel lacking so much. Here, so many things. It almost covered everything we could think of desiring this material world. The next few verses also describing, almost listing every possible thing you could think to desire, see. There's another proof that this is kunta, because you feel you're lacking something. Always something missing in this material world, so. All this meager thing, actually, as verse condemns on the end, is simply, one becomes restless, see, due to not having all this, and becomes more restless just to obtain them. That's it. You know, but in each of these verses, this only on the end and the next verses, points on Lord Vishnu for those who are intelligent. So kind of Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't grab you and condemns everything else like sectarian kind of, gives you the options. It doesn't force you to anything. See, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's mentioned in the end of purport, Amala Purana. Shukadeva Goswami choose that to hear. Yet, in this Srimad Bhagavatam, there are this worshipping to gain different things by various things, devas. So, this gives you option, but gives you also intelligent to dissect through, to find the means. So, as you said, pointing to Vishnu worship, but you know, offered options to those who want to worship demigods. As mentioned here, there's a verse that there's foolishness to worship all these demigods to gain something. Akama sarva kamava in second canto. Moksha kama udara dik tivrena bhakti yogena jajita purusham something, samah, whatever. That means that to get rid of these desires, to rewire your brain, it needs tivrena bhakti yogena. It's interesting. Tivrena, what tivrena means? Yeah? Yeah, like a severe, like great force. It's not something like, you know, great force. Prabhupada mentioned in that purport, in a word for word, by all means. Prabhupada kind of balances a little bit. But in many verses, that tirana means really severe, like, no. That means you have to chop yourself off. That's what means, like, this great determination must be born in us with tirana. By all means, Prabhupada said, be great force. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. All these desires are alluring for everybody. And also in mention, only in association with pure devotees, but not demigods, one can get rid of these disturbing desires. See? Because we have a hopes that by fulfilling all this list and list of desires, we'll somehow find this ultimate fulfillment, some settlement, okay, you know. Therefore, we are driven to try to achieve them. But it never happens really in the heart. It never happens down. The pure knowledge from devotees is only means to attain that. This pure knowledge from pure devotees, that's only means one can attain this fulfillment. Finally, see. And he said on the end, satisfying, he said, this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, a process, it's satisfying. See. And then Prabhupada also mentioned, who will fail not to be attracted? See. I mean, he disvalues other options, gives you options, but kind of makes them such a way that it doesn't give you much value. See. Because if one is intelligent, or Purport also said, then one will be attracted. Then all will go for ultimate happiness. That's what it is. And why Vyasadeva advises all these rituals again? Why advises this ritual? Because Vishnu worship is there. If you ever come across different mantras for worshipping different demigods, Gandharvas, all these personalities here, in each one there is mantra for Vishnu. There is offering to Vishnu, see. Because materially attached persons would never go directly to Vishnu. See. That's a purpose of Vyasadeva giving these options to people. See. And for this also needs regulations, another thing. It means one must be somehow put in some brackets of regulations. Which is Vedas are full of different regulations, but everything is regulated at least. Like, you know, only small percent deals with pure devotional service. Everything uses karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda. But still, it's made in such a way to, you know, put restrictions on you, to make you human being. One who follows the Vedas is human being, even if he follows all these ways to fulfill desires, see. Nowadays, this is not any more case, of course. If you advise anyone, any fellow on the street, whatever, if you're on this, you worship this demigod or something, you'll say, come on, man, you know, wake up, be real, you know, this is not fairyland, you know. And only attempt to do different way to achieve whatever. So how common men would try to gain all this? Benedictions, beauty, strength, power, influence, wealth. You'll try with material means, of course. You know, that's, the Vedas are not followed, see. In India, still they have faith in all these rituals, and there are many, many temples, if not most in India, which do constantly those yagyas rituals. I've seen in Mombasa, in Africa, there's a temple there, a Hindu temple. There are few complexions there, I mean, few complexes, buildings, but their main one is like a, kind of built a little bit under, not underground, but goes like in a pit, with like sitting places around. It looks like a Roman amphitheater or something. And then people sitting there, and then yagyas. They were like all day long, yagyas, big fire. I remember this Brahmana in jeans, dressed in jeans, and they're doing yagya, and people, you know, constantly. So people have a faith. I don't know, do they do those rituals work? Do they really achieve what they want? So, but point is that they have faith. This is still regulated and still Vedic. Maybe they achieve, otherwise they wouldn't. But this is a big kind of business, you can say. Doing yagyas, achieving. But, you know, here is advice also. Worship different demigods. But what Bhagavad Gita describes, also, seemingly Bhagavad Gita gives you the options also. So many things are described also. So many. But it dissects through. Bhagavad Gita goes directly, gives you those, just to describe what it's all about. And then points straight forward, because Bhagavad Gita is Upanishad, Gita Upanishad. In Vedic path, when you sort out all your karma, all your jnana, all your desires, then you come to Upanishads section of the Vedas. What is Upanishads? I am Brahman, I am Brahmasmi, I am not this body. So if you really come to this real realization, I am not this body, then this is such a relief. Such a relief for the transcendentalist. But this is just a base. Start with Upanishads. This is a base of spiritual life. This is meant for transcendentalists, this mention. Upanishads is meant for very elevated transcendentalists. And come to the Upanishads already, or he kind of, his material assets or whatever, aspirations are down. So a great elevation and is great relief. The first symptom of spiritual life is happiness. Such a relief not to be tormented by these desires. So one comes to, you know, Gita Upanishads, as a, for us is most important Upanishad. Because when you throw this out, then as a Bhagavad Gita also points, then you will be even-minded, is a verse. Yadate moha kalilam buddhir vatita rishyati. Tada gantasi nirvedam shota vyasa shutasya cha. This, when your intelligence has passed away from all these dense forests of ignorance and about complexities of Vedas, then you will become simply indifferent to all that you have heard from all these injunctions and whatever you will hear. You're just even-minded, like it's a Prabodhanana Saraswati. Even your sadhana for spiritual advancement will be just dismissed. But he says, oh, my bathing 3 times a day. Oh, my chanting mantra 3 times a day. Oh, my rituals, worship, whatever. I can't do anymore. Cannot do anymore. Wherever I sit, I can remember lotus feet of Krishna. So, even that, all these rituals are meant actually, Lord, this is just beginning of spiritual life, kind of regulation. On the end, you will kind of dismiss all this. And realize, when you really realize who you are, that's a great relief. That's a transcendental happiness. Yeah. Moment of joy. Yeah. Because desire is dragging us, really draining us. You have desire, you can be peaceful. You are aspiring to have something which you don't. It's restlessness. And then you have to arrange how to get it. I don't know, you want this particular thing. You want car, I don't know, beautiful girl. You know, you have to make endeavors somehow to obtain it, you know. So what people do usually with material means, you know, they try to somehow have 2 jobs or be bold, you know, kind of. There are many so-called paths, you know, so-called spirituality path, you know, to make you positive, make your ego very strong and forceful and determined and then whatever develops your skills. And anyway, this is for one goal to achieve all this, so many desires. Because you are disturbed not having it, see. The trouble to gain it, trouble to not having it, see. And even if you fulfill, then what happened? Part of the heart somehow is not reached. You have this experience, all of you. Whatever it is, you may achieve your dreams, but after a while, you know, something is missing this heart. It didn't hit this deepest core of heart. It didn't. And then you may ask, why is it so difficult to be happy in this material world? Why is it so difficult? Like, you know, endeavor constantly to be recognized, you know, to keep positivity of the mind, like many so-called practices nowadays, to be positive, to, you know, as soon as you get up, do your affirmation. Yeah, I'm happy, everything is wonderful. I'm going to have an amazing day. You have to convince yourself that you're happy. Just very, you know, so many things. And then the depression increases. Everyone experiences depression quite often. Somehow, by default, this material world is kunta. It cannot be happy because it's kunta, it's a place of misery, and you have to really work very hard, you have to sharpen yourself, your positivity, your enthusiasm, just to somehow, you know, to cope with all this, to see positivity, to so difficult to be happy in material world, for anyone, really. If you just think, who is happy? You know, if you have, then it's just big rush in the head, too many responsibilities. I mean, as I said, only if you are mad or transcendentalist can be happy. So what's the difference between madman and transcendentalist? Madman, he just not in connection with his mind properly. So you can kind of guess that mind is a problem, as is actually, because they said the first thing we acquire when we come to material world is mind. He plays the role of the soul. A soul is kind of pushed down somewhere in dungeon. And transcendentalist, of course, is about the mind. His mind is his friend. His mind is spiritual. Therefore, these two peoples are happy. But one is an illusion. Like animal also, you know, you can, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, cow comes, eats something there from the market, it gets beaten, it goes, and it comes again. It gets beaten, it comes again. Or dog, whatever. You know, so moment of happiness and forgetfulness. Animals are kind of forgetting things. Maybe perhaps elephant can remember, they said. Elephant can remember even small detail when they are small. Like they have this in memory something. Anyway, side point. So point is here that there's a kind of rules you follow to achieve. You cannot just like a, you know, like a total atheist try to achieve all this. You can try, but anyway. But there are rules for everybody to follow. That's the point, you know. Sadhana for all. See. Even in spiritual world, there's a kind of rules how one does things. See. Because here we are unsatisfied here, constantly. See. Even as a devotee, you have to recondition yourself to your swarup. This is struggling. Sadhana bhakti is struggle also. The same as I mentioned for materialist, be positive, do something enthusiastic, same. Take sadhana bhakti, first stages, you know, vaidhi bhakti is difficult. That means you have to rewire your brain, recondition yourself. And also if on some stage when you get purified enough, you will not be satisfied until you reach the topmost. Isn't it? Like typical example, Gopa Kumar. This is wonderful, the scriptures on Srimad Bhagavatamrita. He's just, you know, he achieved such a amazing places through all this universe, all these lokas, even Brahma Loka, even through all this covering and then Vaikunthas, but they were not satisfied. Then they reached Dwaraka even. Not satisfied there, also something is missing until he reaches his final, you know, Govardhan, and, you know, so even there, so the dissatisfaction, there is a spiritual dissatisfaction also until you reach the topmost, see. And as I mentioned, rules for everything in the spiritual world. I just came across the other day, I was reading this, Radha Krishna Ganodesha Deepika. I don't know, did anyone read this book? This is such a wonderful book. I mean, for me, it's like discovery. So simple. There's no philosophy there. But what describes all these associates of Krishna, gopis, his parents, detailed description how they look, what they wear, how old they are, what did they service. We just by reading their names, I don't know, man, it's such a nice book. You just sit and read. There's no think of philosophy, reconcile points. Just describe. A very short book. I don't know, is it even 100 pages? Beautiful book, you know. Just reading their names and, you know, how they serve in Krishna, just incredible, you know. Like the description, detailed description, how you did particular service, for example. How to make garland. It's not just like take a thread and some flowers and string it. Nice, I think this flower is nice. It's such a explicit instructions. Dāshishirāda gokulananda. The explicit instructions how to make a garland, you know, should be this long, this many times is strung around the neck, and then there are names for each, which particular flowers, which color you use exactly, and then this flower earrings, exactly what's the name of this earring, which has like two white flowers on the side, one orange in the middle, how long is all this, so many varieties, and each of those earrings have a name. And then like a flower cottage, how to make flower bed. Like incredible instructions, very detailed, like incredible, really. Just to please Krishna. That's all meant for that. And then most experts, artists, are there just to please Krishna. Just for Krishna service. Most, like, for example, we pay so expensive ticket to see celebrities, expert musicians, expert artists, whatever. But all of those topmost, most experts in entire creation are there engaged in service of Krishna. And they are not paid. They just do out of love. Can you imagine how Krishna must have fun with it, exchanges? There's so many different services, incredible, so many. Krishna reciprocate. Is Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, the other day somebody mentioned, can reciprocate with everybody. Like, can you imagine, like, you are so well-to-do, and then in your service, whatever, you can employ, I don't know, topmost expert to take care of your car, expert, top gardener in the entire world to take care of your lawn, of your garden, best cook. He cooks for you, and then you art, whatever, arts, and a different fashion designer makes your clothes, like topmost, Guinness Award record, all these topmost men engage in your service, and you don't pay them anything. They just do out of love, because they see you as a coolest guy to be around. Can you imagine how you feel, and how Krishna feels, that all these experts, musicians, artists, so many made. Just mentioned yesterday, I read like there's two servants of Srimati Radharani, name, forgot their name, something. They make an astrological chart for Radharani to predict her future. All these small details, you know. So many others, so many, like, any detail of life, these experts, top experts, engage in service to Krishna. It's incredible. So that's how Krishna lives. That's the kind of gives you a glimpse of spiritual world, the constant festival, reciprocation. And now when you compare these words, what we aspire here in the material world, it's a pity. See? Almost like, I can say free, like animalistic desires, that's what it is. You know. Especially all, like is mentioned here, is a bodily concept. All these boons which we want is just a bodily concept. And all of them, with center of sex life, this is like something which keeps you tightly, most tightly than anything else in material conception of life. And all these boons are connected with this, directly or indirectly. This one, that's all. Power, prestige, beauty, strength. Why you want this? Why you want that? Again, you know, to attract somebody, to have a dominion over it. This again, subtle form of it, see. And everything else here, you know. This is so easy. Simply disturbance for the mind. And when I'm really, I was thinking the other day, when you get really affected by lust, this is like being electrocuted with the electricity. If you ever hold, by chance, you stepped on a live wire, exposed wire, or touched, some of funny things happen. You get into grip, you cannot let it go. You just can't let it go. You know, no way. Only somebody else can pull you out. Or that's a lust. You know, especially sex life. When you're overwhelmed with lust, you're totally stuck in the body. Totally, you cannot get out. There's no question. You cannot be not bodily conscious and be lusty, and vice versa. Be lusty and not be bodily conscious. No way. Totally in grip. No chance. You cannot let it out. You cannot step out. That's what's happened. Strongest bodily consciousness. That's what it is. I've seen quite a few times when people touch the wire. And once near my house, there was a man. There was bad weather at night or something, and one cable or wire fell from the post down, and he stepped on. And it was almost like burning, you know, there, you know. And then another man was foolish enough to try to pull him up. He grabbed him also. And he got also electrocuted. And the first man died, actually. You know, or in India, I've seen, like, just outside of Vrindavan temple, there's a monkey. They're always jumping on these wires. And one monkey grabbed the exposed wire. And it was just, you could see the smoke and sparkling. Nobody, you know, was just quite going for a while, and then one Vrijabhasi took some bamboo rod or something and tried to hit his hand to let it go, and trying, and finally dropped down. I survived, poor monkey. But this kind of thing happened. You're in your grip, so lust makes you into grip. There's no way you forget who you are. And out of this, all this comes out. All this, yeah. Total bodily consciousness, yeah. And I have, what's a way out of it? You have to step out of it. You have to recognize. As soon as there's a tinkling in the heart, there is this lusty, overwhelming energy, you know, you're electrocuted by this body. Just step out. That's the only way. Step out of bodily consciousness. To disconnect from that. Require practice, yeah. Or you'll be sucked and consumed by it. And that's the reason why you come and develop all other desires here. See? And goal is to place the intelligence above the mind. That's the thing. This sharpens your determination. To place intelligence above the mind. That's a goal. Because if we succumb so many times or each time to material desires, no question of being free from desires. No question. You'll be just like a ball, left, right. Yeah. What Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my dear mind, I try to give you so many lifetimes to fulfill your desires constantly, and still I'm not satisfied. This is what it is. All this cannot satisfy anyone. All this. You can go on, life after life. See, no satisfaction, no way. You have to redesign the entire setup. You can get relief, of course, temporary relief. Like, you know, sometimes you kind of restrain something and it's there, okay. Sometimes it's okay, sometimes not. But at some point, God says, I can't do anymore. Give it go. And then some relief just there. But then feel down again. You know, that's it. And then life after life, and next life again. You get your desires, and next life again. Do your meditation, do your affirmation, do your whatever, boom, next life. Do your meditation, do your affirmation, and that goes without end. Enamored. So, still enamored by all these desires. Anyone? I'm sure everybody. You want beauty, you want strength, you want whatever. Fame, money. We cannot say we are free, but at least occasionally we are free. Circumstantially we are free, and circumstantially we are kind of trapped by it. That's it. See? Because we are on unsteady level. That's unsteady level. Sometimes you're affected, sometimes not, but so far you practice is a hope. If you don't, there's no even hope. See? Therefore, we have to create these favorable circumstances constantly. That's what sadhana is. Create favorable circumstances constantly, not to be affected all this array of desires we may have or not. Because constantly engage in battlefield to make this body better, to get free. As soon as you go to this body, there's something missing, you know. Either you have some anomaly, something you don't like, something, and then you spend entire life to create this kind of good fortune by the wrong means. But body is a problem, that's all. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Okay, I did my bit. We can end up here. If somebody wants to say something, it's welcome. Otherwise, that's it.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a nice class. It's such a wonderful process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, this process of realizing the mission of preaching, and with this material opulence as described in this verse or set of verses, knowledge and wealth and beauty and all these aspects, would you say that it is to the benefit of the devotee to have this so that they can effectively preach the mission, the cult of Krishna consciousness, and therefore awaken those other, or attract those other souls back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and then back to also Krishna consciousness?
All this which is here, they're actually side effects of pure devotional service. When you get them that way, then you can have them, no problem, because you will not be affected by it. Any separate means, that means, yeah, you can use it. That's the thing, actually. Intermediate stages, you may try to acquire this with honest means, not harming anyone, and engage that in service. If you don't, you'll be consumed by it. That's the thing. So if you want to use for service, let's say you're already beautiful, use your beauty, attract people, but then tell them about Lord Chaitanya. Whatever, strong, intelligent, good speaker. You have it. You like to use that. You like to be in that environment. Fine. But engage in Krishna. So somehow connect with Krishna. See? And now, you know, separately to endeavor to achieve all this, my goodness, you'll take your energy. You'll not be happy, no way. And your time for practice, spiritual practice, will diminish also. This unnecessary. So, make use, best use of bad bargain. You already have some assets. You have some, you have to just realize, why I have this lacking of assets? Devotees know already, this ABC of spiritual life. You know, I already got this body, and I try to recondition entire life. I try to rebuild my body, which is given by material nature. I mean, you may go for it, but if you really desire, it will not even happen in this life, but next, because you're shaping your subtle body. So, These few verses in this chapter, Pure Devotional Service, describe all these parts, dissects everything, you know, so you know where you will end up, you know. Material life is very bewildering, so you may attract people, of course, you know, but why you need to, like say, you are not very, let's say, intellectual person, and now you go for so many seminars and different ways to achieve your intelligence, but you'll not be as good as somebody who is naturalist. You know, those who have naturally already these assets, they can attract so many people. So many. But also, you have something else, which you are, you know, amazing it. So use that what you already have. And then serve Krishna with it. As I said, as I was reading this Radha Krishna Ganadesha Deepika, there's so many services apparently for our consciousness, meager, like there's a man who, there's a gopi who collects charcoal for Krishna in winter time. There is a man who sweeps his courtyard. You know, all these small services, old man, like he's not even gopi which sees Krishna all day long. You know, all these so many different services. Those who washing Krishna's cloth or some connection with those who serve Nanda Maharaj or, you know, these are apparently meager service. But these people are ultimately perfectionally happy because they engage in their swarup. They do their best for Krishna and Krishna. Akila Rasamrita Sindhu reciprocates. So that's the point. So while this being here in the material world, you have your asset. Everybody has something which is good in, or more than average. Use for Krishna. If it's easy to achieve something, no problem. You can develop, but, you know, you need to endeavor, you know, like, to be big first. Like, you know, should I be first famous musician and then preach? Who said, Mahatma, yeah. Prabhupada said, you don't need to do this, you know. Should I? Whatever, you can, but you don't need to do it. You already have assets already, so. And you'll do your best. If you're good in something and you like to do, my goodness, with your enthusiasm, you can inspire so many people. So there are so many ways people can come. It's not like through some kind of management, to intellectual abilities, to giving talks, to being beautiful, strong, anyway. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Gaur.